everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our December 23rd podcast. And our digital audience is pumped up. It's almost Christmas Day. Hey, I'm glad you all came back today and could fit it in, okay? Christmas 2021. And for a Christmas present to our listeners, we are introducing and interviewing Charlie Frayer, author of Casino Fun 101. Charlie's last name is spelled F-R-A-I-R. His book is available on Amazon and other outlets, and it's a fantastic book. It's about how to go to a casino and have a great time and not lose your shirt. And this subject matter is so similar to what we've been saying on our podcast, all 124 of them. This is our 124th podcast today. So without stretching it out anymore, let's welcome Charlie Frayer to Casino USA Podcast via application that records phone calls. So 1, 2, 3, here we go with Charlie.
Oh, come on!
Charlie Frayer, author of Casino Fun 101, and I love that little rhyme. You have the same philosophy about gambling that we have, and we call it recreational and rules of your 10 golden rules of gaming. Would you tell us a little bit how you came to that idea about playing casino games is supposed to be fun?
it's interesting because first off, I notice I'm a runner, and I've noticed that when you watch people running, they often look like they're not having fun, but I know it's fun. and it's the same when I go into casinos. I see people there doing what they're doing, but they're not like taking advantage of how much fun it really can be. And over time, I've just seen that there's just things they don't know or they don't understand or they haven't learned that just make the experience so much more fun. So I thought it'd be a great idea just to write a book about, you know, there's books written about how to win at this game or win at that game or beat this or beat that or all of that. But I've rarely seen a book that says, hey, this is how you go and have a good time.
There's just so many books that just make these false promises. Like if you play this way, you know, you're going to get $10,000 a day or, you know, it's ridiculous. But I mean, you're just learn, follow your rules and you're just going to have fun. And you're not going to always lose either. You know, that's what I like about it. It's not like except losing all the time.
No, not at all. In fact, I enjoy winning way more than I enjoy losing. So winning is fun, but the book is not, you know, it's not written like this is how you win or beat the casino. It's really written that, like, whether you win or lose, if you play this way, you'll have a great time. And that's what I'm doing. I feel like I'm paying for the entertainment. And sometimes I walk away with more than I started, which is great.
What did you mean by know the casino's advantage, your advice to a player? Know the casino's advantage.
Oh. Yeah, that's just, that's one of the things that really stands out to me. Just that every game that a casino offers, when it's you against the casino, is designed to have a mathematical advantage over the player. I mean, that's how they make their living. That's how they make money. That's how they can give people jobs. That's how they can afford to have Britney Spears perform, you know, is that they have designed it so that they have the advantage. It's a mathematical advantage. And oftentimes people go into playing different games not understanding the either the small or the huge disadvantage they're at mathematically. So I know you know this, but just a simple example is blackjack craps can be, if you play it correctly, can be a 1 to 2% casino advantage, where other games like the lottery, you know, are one in many, many thousand.
Yeah, personally, I sometimes can't get past that because I know that the house edge, or what you would call the casino advantage, is so high for some games, I don't even want to play them. I mean, I have played roulette, but I realize it's so stacked against me, so I agree with you completely. The house edge in blackjack, you can live with it if you play correctly. In craps, in baccarat.
That's the kinds of games I like to play. But you know what's interesting, Donnie, kind of from a different point of view, is I have friends who love to do things like the lottery, and they, which I go, do you understand what little chance you have of really winning? But they love the idea of taking that chance and being the one in a million or whatever. So I don't think that's bad judgment on their part, just because they know what they're doing and they understand. It's just that I prefer playing games where I have a decent chance of taking home more than I start with.
Yeah, and we all know that it's even a special feeling when you do beat the casino, because they do have a house edge on every game in the place, or it wouldn't be in there.
Exactly.
So it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
One that you say, only play casino games or gamble or slot machines with the money you can afford to lose and still have fun.
Yes.
That's something that's hard for a lot of people to take, because how many times at the cashier window I've seen people using a credit card to get money, and then it just gives me a sad feeling, because, look, there's no shame in not having enough money to go to a casino. But I think it's just wrong.
Right.
I know you're trying to tell people, don't borrow money from a credit card to gamble with.
Right. I call that the walk of shame in my book, when you use your credit card or your ATM card to get more money. But yeah, it's like anything. You know, some of us can afford to go to the, I'm a New England Patriots fan. I'll probably make enemies because of that, but I'm a New England Patriots fan, and I can't, you know, I rarely can go to a game because they're so expensive. So that's something I'll just say I can't afford on as a regular thing to do. And it's the same thing going to casinos. I play in a way that I can afford to do that. It's part of my budget. I do it as entertainment and fun, and it's just part of my plan, if you will, my overall plan for my finances. And it never puts anything in jeopardy, like rent, food, car payment, anything like that. So that's really, you can play, you're so much more relaxed, and you can really have fun when you're playing like that. When you're playing with money you can't afford to lose, you get tense, you make bad decisions, you know, it's not good.
Well, one of the things you talk about is when you do lose, if you would record it on your phone or take notes or journalize after you're done, that you can learn to be a better gambler even when you lost, you know, last week. Can you explain how that can happen, how you can lose once in a while, but that makes you a better gambler?
Yeah, that's a great philosophy, I think, in life, not just in gambling. But I always use losing at anything as an opportunity to learn and grow. And in Casino Fun 101, I do show people my simple, very, very simple, what I call my record-keeping system, and that is I just keep track of how much I win or lose each session. I write down the one thing I noticed that did or didn't work that I thought was a good move, and then I write down the one thing I did or didn't do that didn't work, and, you know, a mistake I made or an oversight, and then I always write down in a, like, you know, just a quick sentence, what's the thing I learned this time? And over time, over months and now years of keeping notes like that, I don't necessarily go back and study them, but just writing the stuff down really has helped me be a better and better player and make smarter and smarter decisions, because to me that's the secret to gambling, is making smart decisions.
I think you hit it right on there. And This one sentence that you have in your 10 golden rules of gaming is just profound, where you say how much you don't lose is far more important than how much you win. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? How much you don't lose is more important than how much you win.
Yeah, well, I think of I kind of look at when I play casino games and go to casinos, I treat it kind of like a business. In terms of my inventory is the money I have to gamble. So let's say I'm going to Las Vegas for 2 days, and I've got $500 that I can kind of spend on playing cards or craps or whatever. And that's my inventory. So the longer I can make my inventory last, the better chance I have of winning something. If I lose my whole inventory in the first hour, then it's gone, and I have no inventory, so I'm out of business. But so I really think of, I don't think of money of how much I win. I really, really, when I'm playing not to lose. I'm not playing to win, and then the winning happens.
I know of so many sad stories where, let's say, people go off to for a weekend, Atlantic City or Las Vegas, or you know, yeah, maybe a casino trip to a nice resort somewhere out at, somewhere else. I think it's 40 states now that have legalized casinos, and they take, say, $1,500, and they lose it in the first 3 hours they're there. You know, and they're booked for 4 days, or it's just so sad. I mean, you have to have that stop button, or you walk away. I think it was so important that you said that, because all of a sudden, instead of having fun, you know, you become desperate and you despair.
And again, you start making decisions. You know, you start making bad decisions. Again, I've always felt like this is just about making smart choices, making smart decisions. And if you have $1,500, you're going to be there for 3 days. Well, how about dividing your money into, you know, the way I suggest you do that in Casino Fund 101 is I say, well, divide it into three piles and have 500 one day, 500 the next, and 500 the third. And that way, if you have a horrible day the first day, you still can get up the second day and you have, you know, you're ready to go again. And the longer you can do that, at least in my experience, that if I have a couple, three losing sessions in a row, a winning session's coming. And as long as I have money left, I can go enjoy that winning session and oftentimes win back most of what I lost. But if I lose everything or I lose, have a big loss, I start trying to win it back or I start trying to, I start making poor decisions and taking riskier chances. That just turns into a tailspin of not having fun, of misery. And I'm there to have fun, so.
One of the chapters of your book, chapter 6, where you talk about creating your day, this is such an issue for so many people, where they'll go to a casino with friends, and somebody in the group, and the plan is, say, to get there at 7 p.m. and come home before midnight, you know, so they're going to be there 4 or 5 hours. Maybe they're going to, maybe there's a nightclub, maybe they're going to do something else, but somebody loses all their money in the first hour and they say, I want to go home. I don't want to stay here. And like, so when you do that, you're not interfering just with your own fun. Now you're ruining everybody else's fun. You know?
I've seen
that scenario over and over again. And that's why.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, if you're not at a resort for the weekend, but just for a few hours with friends or even with a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, you do need a plan, like, okay, we're going to be here till 10, and you have to find a way to make that work. And it might mean that you walk away from your game if you're losing.
Right.
You know, don't be a sore loser. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't want it for other people. But I think that's
– exactly.
I think you hit it so well. When did you realize that there was something in casinos, though – because you're giving us a way to deal with the house advantage, you know, with what you're telling us in the book. But when did you realize there was something you really enjoy about casinos? Like, what do you think it is that, because I'm the same way. It's the biggest hobby in my life. Like, I love to go to casinos, and it's not about winning the money all the time. But what is it about a casino that's different than so many other things?
And that's such a great question. One thing is for me, and I think if different people would answer differently. I mean, one thing for me is I always pick the underdog. and there's something about, you know, winning something when you're the underdog that it feels like 20 times better. So I really like that. But I think, and for myself, I just have been playing games ever since I can remember. I mean, I played board games. I played sports in high school. My sister was on the Olympic team and competed in the Olympics. So I'm always been in some kind of competitive mode. And to me, a casino is an adult playground to go play games. And what makes it really fun is you're putting something that you value at risk. And I really like that. I think it's fun.
Yeah, and I agree. And I got this information from your book. 44% in the year 2019, before the pandemic year, 44% of the adults in the United States visited a casino at least once. I mean, that's an amazing statistic, I think. Almost half the adult population has at least been to a casino once or goes once a year. It's just, and I know it's going to grow because there's legalized gambling spreading more and more. So anyway, all of us need to know about how to have fun without, as your book says, how to go to a casino and not lose your shirt. Janie's in Vegas right now, but she texts me a question. She wants you to talk about players clubs and how important players clubs are for everyone.
Yeah. All right. Well, first off, I love that question because it's one of the things I didn't write about really in the book. And it is something that people can do. And I do recommend that you, especially if you go to a casino on a regular basis, or, you know, there's like one casino around that you go to, that you do join the Players Club, which essentially every casino has its own little program, but essentially you get points that are worth money that you can redeem for food, you can redeem for hotel rooms, you can even buy products. Now, I live in the state of Maine, and the casino I go to most often is Foxwoods.
I know it's a big tribal casino in the state of Connecticut.
It's
a tribal casino.
I've been a Gold Star member there for a long time, and you know, basically get to stay there for free and get to stay there for free and get my meals for free every time I go, which can be as often as 2 or 3 days a month. And I say that with a smile on my face, because if I go down and lose $500, it's not really free. But I didn't have to pay for the hotel room. So there's some kind of, oh, okay, but wait a minute, you know. I don't think I'm the only person that's ever sat at a blackjack table and waited for their free drink and lost $200 while they were waiting.
Well, Janie had just one more question. She, we travel the country a lot. In traveling, she always wants to know what things are around the casino, like what else can you do at the hotel, you know, the casino resort, and things about it. Have you ever had an experience where there's a casino you like to go to, not because it's anything special, but there's so many things around it that you can add to, not just gambling and all those things,
but you can add to the amount of fun you have?
Yes. Well, again, because my main casino is the Foxwoods Casino, which has a huge shopping mall, it really is one of those places that has everything. I do recommend that. And I think that I do suggest that, especially people that are going out of town or to a place that's unfamiliar, that you do a little research and look to see what else is it that you want to do, and make that part of your plan in advance. What I do, I go to Las Vegas, except for the last couple of years with COVID, but I've been going to Las Vegas usually every year for a week to 10 days. But I don't even spend a week to 10 days in Las Vegas. I usually, and I like to stay off the strip. So what I do is I stay off the strip, but then I play for 2 or 3 days, and then I go off to Zion National Park or the Grand Canyon or the, you know, I do a lot of hiking around there. So my plans aren't based around shopping, for instance, which when I take a girlfriend, that's the first thing she's interested in. Well, where am I going to be able to shop, or, you know, what kind of stores? And because she isn't necessarily interested in playing the way I am. But yeah, I think that's really an important thing to do. And I can't tell you how important I think it is. If you're going to go, you plan on doing more than just gambling. Right from the very beginning, I've got a whole, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. Oh yeah, I'm going to play these casino games too. But I'm there not just to play casino games. I've already made plans, and then I locate where I want to locate, where I have easy access to those things.
You know, in wrapping this up, I can just tell you that this is an amazing book. There's just so much to it. I know you're thinking, well,
Charlie and you embrace the same values, but these are values that make casinos fun, you know, not a source of despair and aggravation and anxiety, but a place of laughter and good times. And yeah, you'll lose some money and you'll win some money. And that's not the point. It's about recreation. And, you know, playing smart and learning about the games the way Charlie explains in the book, and journalizing, keeping records, using voice memos, however you do it, you know, to get better and better each time you go. And it's a great hobby, and it's not that an expensive hobby if you play smart and intelligently. So I'm going to encourage all of you to take a look at this book one more time. It's Charlie Frayer, F-R-A-I-R, Casino Fun 101. And I'd love to have him back in a few months and see how the book turned out. But I'm suspecting this book is one of those books that's going to sell, you know, a ton of copies. And again, it's available on Amazon. It's reasonably priced. It's available, I'm sure, in other outlets as well. But just take a good look at it. And Casinos USA endorses this book 100%. Okay, we're going to take a short break and come back for our standard feature, and that's Craps Talk. One of the segments of our podcast is specific to the playing of craps, so craps players. But I'm going to say, if you don't know how to play craps, you know, listen to these things. It'll be short, but there'll be some tips in there. So if you give craps a try, you know, you'll be more knowledgeable than most people who come to craps for the first time. So we'll be right back with our special segment music for Craps Talk.
3, 2, 1.
Well, generally speaking, I would say 95% of the people who play craps play from the pass line. The other line is the don't pass line. And basically what that means is if you're playing the pass line, you're betting with the shooter and you're hoping that the shooter makes her point, you know, so she'll pass. And the don't pass line is betting against the shooter that the shooter, once the point is established, will seven out. You know, that's what's curious about craps. On the come-out roll, the first roll of a new game, 7 and 11 wins for you. But once the point is established, the 4, the 5, the 68, the 9, or the 10, once that becomes the established point, then you have to roll that number before a 7, and if you lose, you 7 out. So the people on don't pass win. So many craps players use the term craps out. That's a ridiculous thing to say. You only lose in craps after the point is established if you 7 out. If you're a pass line player, you can craps out on the first roll. You can crap out because that means you throw a craps number, 2, 3, or 12. But once the point's established, the only way you lose is 7 out. Throwing a 12 won't hurt you one bit. So what I want to tell you today is, what about these people, and I'm one of them sometimes, that on the come-out roll, the first roll of a new game, I put money on the pass line and money on the don't pass line. And so what that does effectively is take me out of the gambling in that come-out roll because, you know, a 7-11 wins, a 2-3-12 loses. On the don't pass, a 2-3 wins, and a 12 is just what they call a push. It's a draw. So why would you do that? Like, why would you take yourself out of that? You know, mathematically, almost 30% of the rolls and craps are resolved in the come-out roll. You know, either there's a 7 made and the pass line players win, or there's a 2-3-12 and the don't-pass players win on a 2-3 and not the 12, but the pass line players lose on all three of those numbers. So 30% of the time, you're going to, you know, that's a lot of the part of the game. But so what's the advantage of putting money on the pass line and the don't-pass line, you know, on the come-out roll? And it's a pretty cool advantage because since you're on both lines, you can now put an odds bet on either one. So say the point number is a 4 or a 10 or a 5 or a 9. So you know what? I'm going to say, well, I can't lift up my pass line, but I can put odds on the dump pass because it's much more likely that a 7 will be rolled before a 4 or a 10, and even a 5 or a 9. There's more ways to make a 7 than any other number, but especially those numbers. So if the number is a 6 or an 8, then I can not add anything to the don't pass, but I can play odds behind the pass line, which is generally considered one of the best bets in a casino, because a casino pays you true odds. So think about that advantage. And the time to do that is when the table was really flipping around. You know, it's flipping, You know, it's more people were sevening out, and then they're winning on the pass line and flipping and losing again and then winning on the pass line by people making their point. So it gives you a little bit more control when you can either put your odds bet on the pass line, especially for a 6 or an 8, or you can put your odds bet on the don't pass line. And the only thing you're gambling there is your odds bet, because the pass line bet and the don't pass line bet will cancel each other out. There's a way of playing called hammerlock craps, and I talk about it in another episode, but it insists that you start the games that way. And I've won money playing that way. I don't especially enjoy playing that way, but sometimes it's not a bad way to start at a table, because the table, you know, people don't look real happy, so it's more cold than hot. So start by putting equal amounts of money on the pass line and the don't pass, and then go from there. So the title today in our 124th podcast, More Casino Group Therapy, is just a play on the fact that, you know, we're in a recreational activity, and take it from us, take it from Charlie, you know, don't get stressed out. Don't get filled with anxiety. Don't borrow money. Don't play with money you can't lose. Learn to enjoy winning just a little bit. You know, quit when you're ahead. And I love the statement that I read for the first time when I read the book. It's more important the money you don't lose than the money that you win. You know, I've had friends, and they're still my friends, but they just sometimes lose thousands of dollars, and it affects them. I mean, it really does. And so why gamble with that much money if it's going to just destroy your happiness? Nobody likes to lose, but if you lose $75 or $150, that's a lot different than losing $1,500. And you don't always lose, you know. So I just hope this little group therapy we had, and today basing it on Charlie's book, Casino Fun 101, you know, got home to you today, because it's very important. And it's something that you'll hear from us continually, along with other items that we think are important. So thanks for listening. Merry Christmas. If you hear this before Christmas, Happy New Year 2022. Oh boy, time marches by. And remember, we're still a place where every day is Saturday.